Well, last week in our journey of belonging, Moses and Joshua reminded us that if you choose to stay in the comfort zone instead of moving into the God zone, that comfort zone where you got everything figured out, where you're just kind of going through life, you know, and it's easy and it's predictable. The God zone, that place where God's actually in charge and he's calling you into the deeper waters, into some of the scary stuff, dangerous stuff. You know, walking with Jesus is dangerous, right? So Moses and Joshua reminded us that if we're those who talk ourselves out of the God zone and stay in the God zone, stay in the comfort zone instead of going in the God zone, that we're going to miss out on a whole lot that God has for us. Like the Israelites of old, God continues to call his church into the God zone. And it's when we come together and be the church, unified as the body of Christ, that we get to advance in God's mission. It really happens through this thing called belonging that we've been talking about, that God's put on our hearts as a church family to press into. The power of belonging, how God moves through the church that understands belonging. God didn't move individuals into the promised land. He led a nation, a unified nation, all the people together into the promised land. So today as we continue our journey, we discover that you got to give it to get it. All right, I'm going to have you say this with me. You got to give it to get it. That's the title of today's message. You got to give it to get it. Jesus taught us this. We're going to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. This isn't some new fancy thing that the pastor's throwing out there. These are the words of Christ. Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." New Living Translation says that last part of that verse this way. It says, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Give, and it will be given to you. So I have a question for all of us in the room today. What is your it? Give, and it will be given to you. What is your it? What is it that you're longing for, that you want to have overflowing in your life? What is your it? Is your it finances? I'd love to have more of those overflowing, right? Is your it success? Do you want peace and security to be overflowing in your life? Maybe your it is relationships. Healthy, God-ordained, God-filled relationships. What is your it? For most people, I'll tell you this, relationships is right up there, typically number one. That's what most people are longing to have overflowing in their life. Healthy, strong, meaningful, authentic, real relationship, community with other people who love them, who know them, who walk with them through life. People crave community. People have a longing for belonging. But like anything else in life that we long for, if we want it, we got to go get it. If we want something, we need to invest in it. If we want something to grow in our lives, we got to plant, we got to water. If you want something to happen, you got to take some action. That's how God designed this universe to work. We got to take some action. Somebody comes up and says, man, I really want something, but I look at their life and they're not going after it. I know they really don't want it. They're just talking. You know, I hear a lot, man, I really want more of God. I really want the presence of God. And if you really want it, go after it. You'll be going after it. What we really want, we go after. We really go after it. A lot of people have had the desire to play the guitar. How many of you in your life, you've wanted to play the guitar? Almost everyone's going to raise their hand on that one, right? We want to play the guitar. Well, my son Jake, my eldest son Jake, who was leading worship today, he was one of those guys. At age 9, he decided that he really wanted to play, and so he decided to go after it. Now I know he really had a desire, because instead of just dreaming about it and talking about it, he actually took some action, and he started going after it. And so he bought a guitar. It's kind of a good thing to do. There he is. He's about 11 there, maybe 12, I don't know, something like that. Maybe 13. Now, he's 13 in that picture that you see on the screen. 13 years old here. But at 9, he went after it. He bought a guitar. He started taking lessons from me. But here's the deal. In 3 months, I taught him everything I knew, and he was ready for, you know, more advanced lessons at that point. Just 3 months, that's all it took. That's all it took for him to get, at 9, everything I had, you know. And so then we got him full-on real lessons with somebody who could, like, really rip it, you know. I mean, really play it. And Jake ate it up. I mean, he ate it up. And he spent all of his spare time practicing. He endured the pain. You know what hurts to play guitar? That's why most people quit after one time of trying to play guitar. Not because they don't sound good or they can't get their fingers to work right, but because your fingers are screaming bloody murder after playing guitar, because your fingers for the first time are pushing on these little steel strings that feel like they're just penetrating down to the bone. It hurts. Jake endured that kind of pain, and he kept going. He would hear a song that he liked, and he would spend hours. He'd stay up way later than we were allowing him to, just so he could learn how to play those songs on the guitar. And today, the thing that Jake gave himself to is now overflowing in his life. As I got to tell you what, he's one of the best guitar players I've ever played with, and I've played bass guitar with a lot of different people, a lot of recording artists even, and Jake is phenomenal. And this gifting didn't just come because he wanted it. It came because he took action and he poured into it. And now the Lord is using it in wonderful, beautiful ways. So, like learning to play the guitar, belonging requires an investment. That's point one of this message. Got to give it to get it. Point number one, belonging requires an investment. Again, Luke 6:38, give and it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For with the measure you use it, you will be receiving it. It will be measured to you. So here's the question. Most of us have a longing for belonging. Do you long to belong? Do you long for rich, healthy relationships that you can depend on? Do you long for that? If I ask for hands to go up, and I won't, I imagine every hand in the room would go up. We all long for that. Then you got to give it to get it. You got to give to it. You got to invest in belonging. You got to invest in relationship. It's like a crop, right? This is the analogy that Jesus used, that Paul uses, talking about a crop, that if we want a crop to grow, we got to first plant it, don't we? You can't just say, man, I want some corn on the cob, you know, and then just hope that it just shows up. And no, I mean, I know you can get on Amazon and all these other things now. I know, we live in a weird world right now. But somebody's got to plant it. If you want something, you got to plant it. And then you got to water it. You got to invest in it. And then you got to go out and get it. You got to go out and get it. And it's the same way with belonging. It's the same way with relationships. If we really want deep, meaningful relationships, then we got to plant into that. And we got to water those relationships. Paul said to the church in Corinth, this is in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But also whoever sows generously will reap generously. That's just a kingdom of God principle, precept. That's how it works in the real world that God created. If we want generous relationships, if we want relationships that are overflowing with peace and love and authenticity, then we got to generously invest into those relationships. I want to make sure we understand something, that what Jesus is telling us here about give and it will come back to you, pressed down, running over, overflowing, all that. It's not a command. Now, sometimes when I preach, I get really into it, and it sounds like, man, he's preaching, and God's coming down, and he's trying to tell me I better do this, or else, bam, I'm going to get squashed. This isn't a command. This is a promise. This is a promise from the Lord. He's saying, give. Give to relationship. Give to others. And that relationship, that love, that care, it's going to come back to you. And not just in the amount that you even gave and invested. It's going to come back exponential return to you. Press down, shake. I mean, he's going to squeeze all the goodness into your life to the point where it's overflowing. But we got to give it to get it. How do we give it? We show up. I mean, let's just keep it simple, right? How do you belong? You show up. You show up and you serve. You show up and you participate. And you show up. And you show up. And you show up. The only reason I know y'all and the only reason that we've got growing, awesome, beautiful relationship is because we're showing up and we're doing life together. And the kind of life we're doing together isn't just sitting at a bar drinking a beer and talking about, you know, how the Cardinals, I mean, are they going to win a game? Whatever, you know. Baylor Bears, we don't want to talk about them. They had a tough time yesterday. But the kind of life we're doing together is like God life, kingdom of God life, presence of God life, power of God kind of life that we're doing together. Impactful, meaningful, eternal kind of life that we're doing together that matters. The relationships that we're investing in because we're showing up and showing up and showing up are relationships that are going to last forever. We're going to be seeing each other for all eternity. We're going to be enjoying these relationships forever. It's not just a momentary thing that we're investing our time in. This showing up matters. But we got to give it to get it. And the amount we invest in belonging will directly determine the amount that we receive in return. Again, so sparingly we'll reap sparingly, so generously we're going to get a whole lot of this. But it's not a command, it's a promise. You know, when we take Jesus at this promise, our belonging tank is going to be filled up to the full. I love that. That need, that desire we all have in our lives. It's going to be filled up to the full. It's beautiful. It's a promise from the Lord. I want to ask Carlos Valiente, he's one of our elders here at Evident Life Church, to come up and share with us how this has worked in your life, Carlos, in your family's life. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. It's hard to imagine or believe, but about 2.5 years ago, I got up and the building was still over there. So I was standing over there and I shared that the Lord had called my family and I to move to Ethiopia to work there and to serve there. And I asked everybody here to pray for us and to, I use the terminology, to hold the rope and to allow us to be anchored here in the church. And it has been an amazing journey. It has been super hard. But I just wanted to share a number of great things that people have done for us. I mean, and I was just jotting some of these down while we were worshiping. And, you know, one of the first things people did is when we were moving, we felt the need and the calling to sell virtually everything we own, our house, cars, everything. And so lots of you guys showed up and bought our stuff. And that was amazing blessing because you guys bought it at great prices and didn't argue with us. And that was, you know, lovely. And then people provided housing for us. And then as we were packing up what we had left, people came over and helped us to pack those things up and, you know, put in suitcases. And just to be real and authentic, when I was not being the best husband and was arguing with my wife about what to bring, people came over and gave us back rubs and then told me to quit arguing with my wife. And let her take what she wanted, and then they stood next to us, and then they helped us pack things. And then when we got to Ethiopia and there was civil unrest all around us and we were thinking we were going to have to leave because of it was dangerous, people reminded us that the Lord knew when we would get there and encouraged us to be steadfast and to pray and to trust Him and know that He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. And then when the reason we went there fell apart, people encouraged us to keep on dreaming and keep on serving and seek the Lord. And that's what led us to one of the best things that we did there. And we got to help plant a church. And then people encouraged us to do that and loved us enough to help plant a church, even though we were still part of this church. And then people sent chocolate and they prayed for us. And then they answered phone calls and texts. And then as our girls got really sick, they allowed us to just talk to you guys and seek counsel and encouragement. And then when we came home, people provided meals and a place to stay and to help us to learn how to dream again. And then, just over and over. And I think what's been so amazing is that this journey that we've been on for the last 2.5 years has been really good, but it's also been really hard. I mean, Isabella and Abigail, our two oldest daughters, and my wife, they've been sick now for probably 2+ years. They were gone for months to getting treatment, and people had me over to their house to just encourage me and to feed me and just to be there, to cry on their shoulders and then to tell me, okay, get up, and now it's time to keep on going. So we still have a long way to go. The family still needs a lot of healing, so just want to encourage you guys to keep praying for us. We know that you will. We love you guys, and we thank you for blessing us along the way.
Amen. Amen. I want to point out something, though. Carlos just talked about all the blessings he's received from this church family that he belongs to. But Carlos and Natalie and the family have given a lot to this church family, to Evident Life Church. They've poured their lives into our lives. They've blessed so many. They've sacrificed so much for belonging, for unity, for us, for marriages in this church, and so on and so forth. Serve so faithfully, love so generously. Give, and it will come back to you. Give, and it will come back to you. Invest in relationship. Invest in belonging, and it's not going to leave you hanging, not with the body of Christ, not with a church family that loves Jesus and loves you. This belonging thing sounds wonderful, and it is wonderful. Here's one of the issues, though, that I find that we run into, is that we live in a microwave society. You know what I'm talking about? We want it. We want something, and we want it right now. I mean, when somebody sends me a text, I know what the deal is. You want me to jump through a hoop and immediately get back to you, drop everything. Because when we text somebody, we want an immediate response, right? That's kind of our expectation. When we post something on social media, we want likes and comments to come in right away. We like it. I mean, our culture probably has really this saying. This is the anthem of our culture today. I want it, and I want it now. I mean, that's how we are. That's how we've been programmed in the culture today. Instant gratification is what we're looking for. And this spills over into relationship and into our desire to belong. We want to belong. We want meaningful relationship, but we want it and we want it now. And if it's not happening, we're moving on. We're going to look elsewhere. But the Lord would say to us, be patient. Belonging will come. That's point number two. Be patient. Belonging will come. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, let's say that together, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. We will receive the benefit. It will happen if we don't walk away from it. If we stay the course, if we don't give up. Often the harvest takes time. It takes time. Sometimes it's healing that we're looking for, and it takes time. How many of you know God's always on time, and God can be trusted? He's always on time. He can be trusted. Sometimes His timetable isn't our timetable. He's sovereign. He's perfect in His ways. But be patient. Belonging will come. Here's some examples of some things that took a little while. And I'm glad these guys stuck it out. Well, for the most part. You'll hear them here. Henry Ford, early business. He failed and he was left broke 5 times before Ford Motor Company. But he stuck with it. He persevered. He didn't give up. Elvis Presley was fired after just 1 performance on the Grand Ole Opry. This is what he told them. I'll try to do it justice. They said to him, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck." Anyway, that's the Grand Ole Opry. That's what they told Elvis Presley, but he put on his blue suede shoes and he kept singing, right? Amen. Legend has it that Walt Disney was turned down 302 times before he got financing for creating Disney World. And then Thomas Edison, you know the story about him, the inventor of so many things, almost everything in the world it seems like he invented, including the light bulb, and like he failed 10,000 times before that happened. And this is what he has to say. He said, "If I find 10,000 ways something won't work, I haven't failed. I'm not discouraged because every wrong attempt discarded is another step forward." And so I think about that as we're sowing into and investing in belonging and in relationship and longing for the light bulb to go on and everything to just work and be perfect and be awesome and take off. You know, but we showed up again and we're trying to connect again and we feel a little bit of the belonging and we're getting a taste inside of it, but it's not as deep as we want. Hey, it's one step forward because you showed up and you invested. It's another step forward. It's one day closer and God's timing is perfect. And if we give, it will come back to us. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't quit. If we don't quit. Love that saying, quitters never win and winners never quit. Or maybe it's the other way around, winners never quit and quitters never win. It's true. It's true. This is what I believe the Lord wants to say to us. So I actually wrote it down and I'm going to put it up on the screen. Because I believe this is a word for us, for the church. I believe God wants to say to us, all of us, be patient. Put this on the screen. Be patient. Belonging will come. Keep investing. Keep showing up. Keep getting together. If you don't quit, you will win. You will belong. You will belong. So belonging sounds wonderful, but how do we respond when belonging hurts? That's point number three. It's the third thing we're going to talk about. Got to give it to get it. But man, sometimes this whole belonging thing can hurt. And what do we do when it hurts? What do we do when giving and loving others hurts? Church is a family. If you've been through the Belong Track, the First Step and Next Step classes, you've heard me talk about how kind of our culture here, our DNA, is we really are a family, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so church is like a family, and we know this about families. Families can be messy. They're just messy. If you have kids, you understand that family life can be messy. The proverbial spilled milk, it's a real thing, and it happens, and it'll test you, right? What do you do when the milk is spilled? What do you do when you're walking, you know, through the house and it's dark and you step on that Lego and you want to say that word? You know what I'm, don't be, no, what I'm, no. What do you do? Family life can be messy. Dirty dishes, a sink full of dirty dishes. Velvet just, you know, did the dishes. The kids just did the dishes. It was that day of the month when I did the dishes or whatever, you know, and whatever, you know, and then you turn around, you look again, and it's full of dirty dishes again because family life is messy. You know, you have your daughter saying to your son, he didn't put the seat down again, or, you know, he ate all the leftovers, there's no more pizza, you know, I don't have any more pizza, or she used all the hot water in the shower again this morning. Whatever it might be, family life can be messy. Can be messy. And then there's marriage. I haven't talked about that, but we won't go there. That'll be another topic. Then there's marriage, right? But here's what happens. Some people, in their extreme desire to avoid messiness, to avoid the hurt, driven by selfishness, what do? They end up abandoning, pulling away from doing life with their family. It's just too messy. It hurts too much. I'm just tired of dealing with all of this. And so they'll start pulling away from their marriage, from their kids, or kids from their parents, or whatever it might be. And this happens in the church too, because church is a family. And some, in their extreme desire to avoid the mess and the hurt, choose to pull away from doing life with their church family. It's too messy. We live in a throwaway society. I talked about a microwave society. We also live in a throwaway society. If something's broke, what do? We typically just throw it away these days. Almost everything is throwaway. Even appliances. You get an appliance, it doesn't work anymore, you throw it away, you go on Amazon, you buy another one, right? You just replace it. You're not gonna repair it, you're not gonna maintain it, you're gonna use that thing, all the maintenance stuff. You know, you gotta sharpen this and you gotta do this, then you gotta put the oil in there to keep, you know, the appliance moving so that it'll last long. How many of you really do all that? If you do that, raise your hand, because I'm impressed. I don't do that, okay? Well, praise God, there's some responsible people in here. So y'all can just leave. I'm not preaching to you now. I'm preaching to all the irresponsible people here right now. Okay, so basically, we don't take care of things these days. We don't repair things these days. For the most part, we just throw things away when they're broken. But there are some things that are too valuable to throw away. How many of you, if something breaks in your house or on your car, do you just throw away your house? I mean, just throw it away. Just drive your car to your neighbor and say, I don't want this anymore. You know, there's this thing broken or whatever. I don't want. No, because it's valuable. Because those items are valuable. And so you're going to maintain those items. You're going to repair those items. Because they're valuable to you. I just bought a 1998 Jeep, 20-year-old Jeep. I still like it, so it's valuable to me. So I was driving it down the road the other day, and all of a sudden, my oil gauge just boom, all the way down to zero. No oil pressure according to my gauge. And so I'm driving along to a meeting with pastors. Come on now, this shouldn't happen when you're going to meet, you know, to a holy gathering with other pastors, right? Your oil gauge shouldn't just disappear and drop, right? But anyway. So I was a little worried. I'm pulling into the church that I'm meeting my buddies at, and there's a garage at the front of the property. And so I pull into that garage and I say, look, this just happened to me. I got to get over to a meeting, but can you take a quick look and let me know, should I stop driving this vehicle right now? He checked the oil. He said, actually, it looks like your oil looks great. It's clean and you've got plenty of it. And I'm like, well, that's because I'm so responsible, which of course, you know, that's not true now after hearing me just talk. But he said, everything's fine. It must be your gauge. And then he said, I'm going to give you a quote of what it's going to take to fix it. He sent me over a quote for $200 to replace the oil pressure sensor. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to look up and see the price of one of these, $29 at AutoZone for this part, right? And so what did I do? Because I cared about this Jeep and about my personal finances, I rolled up my sleeves. It's hot out, right? It's not cool these days. I rolled up my sleeves, I put up that hood, and I went and did something I've never done before, and I removed and replaced an oil pressure sensor in a 1998 Jeep Wrangler. So that's what we do. We repair things. We maintain things when they're valuable, when they're worth something to us. We don't throw away relationships, because if there's anything valuable, there's nothing more valuable than that. Our relationship with God and our relationship with others, those that God has put in our lives. Just because something got messy, just because something wasn't working right, we don't discard it. We don't discard a relationship. Just because somebody said something that was hurtful, or they didn't show up, or they didn't respond the way we thought they should, or you're just not feeling it. You know what I mean? We don't just write it off and throw it away. We invest in it. We repair. We maintain. That's how we respond. The emphasis is on faithfulness, not perfection, when we're talking about relationships also. If you love somebody, you don't just support them when things are good and abandon them when things are bad. You don't do that. It's not what you do in a relationship. It's not what you do in a church either. I'm just going to say it. You want to talk about relationship, man, doing relationship with all these people, right? It's a lot of relationship. When somebody is in relationship with you and when you belong to a group, what do? You fight for them, not against them. You serve them. You be patient with them. You persevere. You endure with them. You stay with them. Jesus had every right to abandon you. I mean, let's get real. He had every right to write you off and to throw you away. After all, you were very, very broken. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Your relationship with him was much more valuable than that. Not only did he not throw you away, but he gave his everything in order to repair, to maintain, to redeem, to put into right relationship your relationship so that you would belong to the family of God now and forever. And he said, not only did I not write you up, but I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. That is Jesus' response to our brokenness. And if we're like Christ and growing in Christ and loving like Jesus, then that's how we have to be with one another. When we run into brokenness, we don't abandon. We persevere. We love through it. Even at our hurts, we love. So how do you repair? How do you maintain relationships? My mind went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's where I went. Verse 4. Love is patient. How do we endure? How do we maintain? How do we repair? How do we enjoy belonging in the family of God? Patience. Because love is patient. We do not envy. We do not boast. We're not proud. It's not about selfishness. We're not rude with one another. It's not self-interest or self-seeking. We don't become easily angry with one another. How do we continue to belong healthy and persevere and enjoy the blessings of belonging? We don't delight in evil, of course. We keep no record of wrong. We forgive one another. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for people to do, is to throw away the record of wrongs. It's to just forgive and move on. We protect one another. I love that about this church. We protect one another. We're there for one another in our times of hurt. We trust. We trust God, but we also trust one another. We always hope, and the love that we have for one another always perseveres. I love how it starts with patience and it ends with perseverance. Very similar, aren't they? That's what it takes to belong. That's what it takes to enjoy the blessing of belonging, of relationship. Y'all ready to keep doing that? Amen?